Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, we got word the other week that PlayStation, Sony themselves are shutting down the PS3, PSP and PS Vita storefronts as of July 2nd. The Vita one's going to be closing later in August. I think it's August 27th. But that process seems to have already begun in secret, with the forums over on PSN profiles realizing that a whole bunch of games are no longer being able to ping for their online updates, for patches, yeah, for trophy access, for everything like that. And it's affecting a whole bunch of games. So far, this is written up by VGC, it affects about 30 different PlayStation 3 games, and like I said, they're not able to detect patches, they're not able to be updated to the version you would want if you're paying money for them, because Sony's whole thing right now is that you can make the most of the time that's left to you before July, you hoover up all the games and it'll all be fine, and that's apparently not really the case. So just to sort of round up some of the titles that are covered here, Battlefield 4, Just Cause 2, Soul Calibur 4, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Payday 2, Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising, Ghostbusters, Castlevania Lords of Shadow, and both SOCOM games, or at least two SOCOM games, SOCOM 4 and Special Forces, and a whole bunch more. So it's pretty high profile stuff. It's not like they've, swept away some, you know, something that maybe people weren't actively playing or looking forward to, or maybe, you know, looking forward to playing again, or maybe would rebuy before July. And so there's a little bit more to the overall situation, but does this strike you as surprising at all?
Scotty T, nothing is surprising anymore. Every single time I go to bed, I have Jim Ryan's voice in my head, his big, thick, Jody voice, talking about how much no one likes old games and no one wants to play them, so why not just make the patches not work while
just
we're shutting
kill everyone,
down everything
to be honest,
else?
Who cares?
Just, yeah, kill the past, let it die, etc., etc. And it just kind of like, it sucks because, like you said, some of those games are really good. A lot of them are really high profile as well. Some of them you can imagine people are going out to buy before the whole thing gets taken offline. And then they're going to be hit with this idea that the patches don't work. They're not getting the best version of the game that they want to play. And it's just, it just feels so like backward to me. Like, we've done so many videos in the past about how it seems like the gaming world was moving forward, how they were finally seemingly embracing their back catalog and weren't being like they were in previous generations where it was a hard cutoff and they just said, no, you don't need to worry about any of these. You're probably not going to play them anyway. Just focus on the new hotness. And I just think that's like a crazy way to go about business in the modern age, because yes, only a fraction of your player base might be interested in these older games, but that doesn't mean you should just discard the entire history or make it as difficult as possible as they can to make these games playable. It's just a complete step backwards for me, in my opinion.
Outside the fact of just, you know, the fact that, yeah, like, you know, the whole game preservation is a whole thing. Xbox are obviously doing that with flying colors right now. Like, that's a whole dimension to this that needs to be addressed. There is the sheer reality that they said, you know, go out and buy your games because, well, they didn't say go out and buy your games, but they did say, you know, the stores are going to be going offline in July. So that's a massive impetus, you know, Mario 35 style, to go and grab it while you can. And a lot of people have been doing that only to realize that they can't actually access the most updated version of the game. The wider sort of context for this as well is that in the notice that Sony put out, they did mention that after the storefronts go offline, you'll still be able to access your purchases. You'll still be able to go, if you've already bought something, then assumedly when you go on the, I don't know how, they haven't said how that's going to happen, but there must be some version of the PlayStation Store online, or I guess maybe you access it through the XMB or whatever, something that would let you get to a download button again. And that would be the case, that you can still access your purchased games, you just can't access anything else. And they haven't talked about patches, they haven't talked about trophies. or online multiplayer, whether all those servers get shut down or whatever else. So there's a lot of other stuff hanging around that. At the minute, it just feels very slapdash. It's just sort of like this random thing of we're shutting these different storefronts. We don't have an alternative for you. We don't have anything ready to go. And it's all very negative. Like the general conversation around Sony at the minute is that it's reminding a lot of people of how they were with the PS3. And they could do with just supplanting the negative announcements with something like a monthly PlayStation subscriber service type thing with all these games added to it. Do you trust, because I don't know how much I trust them to actually let you access the stuff you've purchased after the storefronts go down. That still feels like it would be, you know, they're still paying someone for that to manage those servers at some point, and I just don't know if I trust that at all.
I mean, I think if they just completely cut it off, that would be such a huge blow to them. People are already up in arms about this stuff, you know what I mean? Mm. I'm sure eventually the service for these games, like the service for every multiplayer game in existence, will eventually be turned off because not enough people are playing them and such. But I imagine it'll be like a gradual thing. But even a gradual thing kind of sucks, you know? It's like, imagine Disney suddenly going, look, we're stopping Disney Plus. You can't get any of these older titles, so you're going to have to go out, buy a DVD player, track down a version of that movie, but also, even when you do, there might be a scene missing, the music might not work, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. If you move it to another medium, it genuinely is like a little bit insane, but we kind of like accept it in gaming because there hasn't been that sense of preservation, or there's been a sense that, you know, if you want a game enough, it'll eventually get remastered or it'll get remade or something like that. And I'm sure Sony will have some kind of solution to this in the long run, whether or not it's just updating their storefront and putting out on PlayStation 4 in drips and drabs, kind of like what Nintendo was doing for a little bit, or whether it's a completely different idea. But even then, like, that's going to take some time, and they haven't been clear about what, if anything, they are replacing this storefront with, or whether it is just a straight net negative and people have to go out and scramble to buy the stuff digitally, or in the future track down a version of these games online in hope that they're getting the best version of the game. Because, I mean, you know, for PS3 games, they're not going to be affected in the same way that, you know, PlayStation 4 era games would be, because PlayStation 4, for me, I felt like that truly became the era of the day one patch. But even then, a lot of these games you mentioned, like Battlefield 4, for instance, like that was a train wreck at launch. If some of those patches don't work, you're going to get
a worse version
of the game.
Yeah.
They kind of did. It took them a little while, but it was mostly there. But after a lot of patches, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, just that idea of buying, I don't like the baseline reality of saying, you know, this is when the storefront goes offline, you can go spend your money, and it's not like they're being sold. It's not like there's a massive discount sale on where everything is like a couple of quid or a couple of pounds, couple of dollars, whatever. They're still, you know, sizable prices for these games. Then you've managed to download them because you're up against this time frame. And so then you realize that it actually doesn't work how it should. Like, obviously there's some, you know, the reality of the multiplayer stuff is something that maybe we would just accept that isn't going to work. But the idea that you can't even access trophy data, or that's not coming through as it should, or just base patches, like you said, for single player stuff, like in something like Battlefield, that's just a whole big mess. And just Sony just seem to be so all over the place at the minute, where you've kind of got, you know, it's hard putting a face to a brand, but obviously on the Xbox side, you do have the likes of Phil Spencer, Aaron Greenberg, you know, speaking on behalf of Xbox and being the people that are associated with that brand. Like right now, Xbox's overall feel is just like, hey, we got you, don't worry, Game Pass, all these games, come play some games, that's cool. And they'll have, you know, there'll be problems going forward. But right now, Sony just feel like this weird, disparate, squiddly-diddly-style spider octopus thing trying to do 10 different things at once, and none of them really feel like they're hitting home. Obviously, there's exclusives to come, but it just feels so all over the place at the minute.
I think it's just because they haven't had anything good to latch onto. We've just had like a series of negative or negative skewing stories. You know, we've had the whole thing with this storefront shutting down. We've had the whole thing now about Days Gone and The Last of Us remake and stuff. And we've had no news about when the likes of God of War, Horizon, etc. is going to come. The State of Play, even that happened a month or so ago, wasn't really, you know, a complete blowout or anything like that.
Forgot it happened.
No, didn't blow us away. Not blowout, I'll completely mess those two up. But you know what I mean? Like, they haven't had something good to kind of like latch onto. I think the best thing they've got recently was the PlayStation VR 2, which came out as like a blog post, and they were just like, that exists, there you go. But apart from that, they kind of just like, they're in this weird position where they're treading water and they're getting a lot of flack. And I think Jim Ryan especially, you know, I don't want to place all of the blame on Jim, but I think, you know, there was a huge shift, obviously, after Sean Layden left, which everyone seemed to really appreciate, like, his approach to the PlayStation brand. And since Jim Ryan's taken over, you know, he's inherited this massive kind of ship and wanted to make it bigger and better, but has now become the face of perhaps its decline or its controversy.
Yeah, he was the dude at the Gran Turismo event saying no one wants to play old Gran Turismo, which I'm sure there was a way wider point that you could have made there. And obviously, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that when he's trying to celebrate and advertise the newest Gran Turismo, and there's this legacy system showing the originals, and he was like, no one wants to play that. Like, look at this. I get that. But I still think that, you know, at some point, your PlayStation, you have a legacy. It's a monetizable legacy. And if you don't allow us access to, like, you know, buy the game, then the old school Steve Jobs adage will always come true, that people will pirate the thing that they can't get access to as one of the most popular ways to access those games. Like, you look at emulators on PC and Mac, like the I think it's called PS, I'm not going to try and name the emulators, but I know there's two or three of them that people default to when they can't get access to these games. If you don't provide a legal version, a legal way to do it, then a lot of people are just going to pirate this stuff. So I think, like, that's a whole other, again, like, dimension to the conversation, because people, the Steve Jobs thing I mentioned, because Steve Jobs said that people would rather pay for a thing than have to go and pirate it, but it's all about the access to it. And if they're not going to provide it, then that's just a missing opportunity. Like, it's almost like we're saying, like, hey, Sony, we'd like to pay for your games. We like PlayStation. Just put them on a storefront and we'll do it.
Yeah.
But they just seem to be going, nah, you don't want them. You don't want all this stuff. You want the new stuff. And then the kind of barely sort of ticking that box as well. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of the idea of PS3 games going away even earlier than they were supposed to be and where Sony are at right now. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.